message, I'm just going to read you some observances that I picked up this week on the subject of Memorial Day. Just some readings and some poems. They are dead, but they live in each patriot's breast, and their names are engraved on honor's bright crest. I raised a flag today, a flag with 50 stars. I raised a flag today, a flag with 13 bars. I raised a flag today to honor those who died. I raised a flag today, and then I stood and cried. I cried and wept and cursed and prayed and had to wonder why. Angst and anger welled inside me, and then I saw it fly. The flag snapped briskly in the wind. It unfurled in the sky. Its glory rose above my fears. Its freedom was not denied. The symbol of our country, the banner of our pride, the flag of these United States flew boldly at my side. I raised a flag today, but the flag, it lifted me. I raised the flag today for all the world to see. I raised the flag today, and upon seeing it, I knew above the dusty ashen gray would rise the red, the white, and the blue. The printing on this one is miserable, so help just. On this Memorial Day, let us all express our gratitude and pride for those who've gone to war, fought for us, and died. Mothers and fathers who have left their children behind to go to unfamiliar places to protect the rights of mankind. Bravely going into combat, putting their lives in harm's way, fighting so that each of us can enjoy another free day. Men and women fighting for the security for you and me, marching to war proudly to keep our land the home of the free. For each soldier that has served their country with dedication, sacrificing their lives for our freedom without hesitation. We set aside Memorial Day each and every year to honor those who gave their lives defending what we hold dear. In all the dark and deadly wars, their graves prove and remind us our brave Americans gave their all to put danger far behind us. They made the ultimate sacrifice, fighting for the American way. We admire them and respect them on every Memorial Day. Remember, Lord, the fallen who died in fields of war, in flaming clouds and screaming crowds on streets that are no more. That we today might waken and greet this day in peace with grateful prayer for those who bear the storms that never cease. Remember friends and strangers and those forgotten now, whose names are known to you alone, before whose love we bow. And ask that you surround them with mercy's endless light, that they may live and we forgive the foe they went to fight. Remember, Lord, the living who bear the pain of loss, of death she died who stood beside her son upon the cross. Remember all your children, the dead and those who weep, and make us one beneath the sun where love will never sleep. Almighty God, upon the cross, sorrow and pain, and every dreadful, tragic consequence of sin was overcome. Today we remember all those who have joined in that sacrifice for peace and justice. We give thanks for the bravery of men and women who have served for harmony and love. And in a world that is still torn and broken, we declare that Jesus is Lord, that hope overcomes despair, that joy overcomes sorrow, that peace overcomes hostility, that love overcomes hate. From the tomb, the promise of eternity emerged in a resurrected Christ. Grace was poured into the hearts of all those who suffer, mourn, and grieve. Lord, we lift our hearts to you and continue to remember, to hope, and to love. The finest tribute we can pay unto our hero dead today is not a rose wreath white and red in memory of the blood they shed. It is to stand beside each mound, each couch of consecrated ground, and pledge ourselves as warriors true unto the work they died to do. Into God's valleys where they lie at rest beneath the open sky, triumphant now over every foe, as living tributes, let us go. No wreath of rose or immortelles or spoken word or tolling bells will do today unless we give our pledge that liberty shall live. Our hearts must be the roses red we place above our hero dead. Today beside their graves we must renew allegiance to their trust. Must bare our heads and humbly say we hold the flag as dear as they. And stand as once they stood to die to keep the stars and stripes on high. The finest tribute we can pay unto our hero dead today is not a speech or roses red, but living, throbbing hearts instead that shall renew the pledge they sealed with death upon the battlefield, that freedom's flag shall bear no stain and free men wear no tyrant's chain. Forever remembered, in solemn silence we gather near to honor heroes we hold dear. Their courage and sacrifice we recall. On this Memorial Day, we stand tall. They fought for freedom and gave their all, answered duty's unwavering call. Their memory we cherish, hearts embrace, with gratitude, love, and solemn grace. For the fallen, our gratitude will never fade. On this day, their sacrifice forever displayed. The rose stands for the family with faith and love for those who serve. They're held with the highest respect, for that's what they deserve. The vase is tied with a red ribbon, a symbol of our continued determination to remember our fallen and find our missing. An inverted glass represents that the fallen can no longer toast. They cannot be an honored guest or such a gracious host. A lemon wedge represents the bitter loss of the fallen soldier's life that causes so much pain like the sharp edge of a knife. The salt is put in place for all the loved ones shedding tears, for the soldier is no longer present to help calm our fears. The candle stands tall for the blood that the soldier shed. It holds a place of honor and represented in red. The empty chair symbolizes the missing comrade who isn't here. Now it stands alone for the voice that we can't hear. That's just some selections that I pulled off of the internet for the subject of Memorial Day. And I'm a big fan of anything patriotic or anything red, white, and blue. And for Memorial Day, to remember the honored dead who gave their lives so that we could have the freedom that we have today. Now, for just a few minutes, I'm going to take the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I read quite a bit of things and prose and thoughts that take our attention to the graveside, the markers, the white stones. If you ever have a chance to go to a national cemetery, of course there's one just up the road, and or go to Arlington. Please, if you've never been to Arlington, you get to go to Washington, go there. If you go nowhere else, I'd rather go to Arlington, the White House, and the Capitol building. See the changing of the guard and to see all the rows of white stones. Sharon and I were talking on the way to church this morning. She had an uncle, a Marine, who died in Korea. I have an uncle who is missing in action in Korea. I was named after him. My birth name was Roger Stephen. And Roger Stephen was my uncle who's missing in action in Korea. I've been to his grave marker up in northern Maryland, but there is no body there. They're hoping to one day find the remains, and if that takes place, they'll bury him in Arlington. But all of us have family members, maybe not contemporary now, but family members in the past who have served, and probably we know plenty who have given their lives. And so I read all those things about remembrance, and I'm turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 concerning the subject of remembrance. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he is betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The subject of remembrance. Twice he said, do this in remembrance of me. We celebrate, or not celebrate, observe Memorial Day. Was it the last Monday in May? I think every year, something like that. And as I said, it began as a decoration of the grave sites of the soldiers of the Civil War, and now it's to encompass all our war dead. And it is a memorial. It is a remembrance. We never want to forget what it costs to have what we've got today. It's what every other nation in the world wants. I can't for the life of me figure out why we're trying to corrupt our system when everybody else in the world wants the system that we've got or would love to have the freedoms that we enjoy. Places in China and North Korea and in the Middle East that cannot have a church service like we're having today. Not an open church service, not a free service where you just pull in, walk in, and nobody's going to say anything to you. Nobody's going to arrest you. Nobody's going to imprison you. Nobody's going to execute you. That's why so many people came to America. It was the land of opportunity. I don't know why so many are trying to destroy that great foundation that our country was built upon. But on tomorrow, this weekend, we remember that price. Thousands and thousands of lives. But we have a greater freedom than American citizens. We have a spiritual freedom. As citizens of a heavenly realm, as citizens of a heavenly country, as those who have trusted Jesus, as Christians, we have a home, a city without foundations whose builder and maker is God. And we need to remember that. And on regular occasions, we come to this table and do so. But the text says, this do in remembrance of me. So right before we observe that in remembrance, I want to give you just a handful of brief thoughts. And chances are we'll be out of here before you can blink an eye. In remembrance of a body that's broken. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Not a bone of his body was broken, but his body was broken because of the abuse he suffered, because of that which he offered of himself, and because what he had to endure. And so whenever we take a piece of bread that is a memorial, that is a reminder, that is symbolic, it does not change, it does not become something spiritually real. It's just a piece of bread that reminds us that his body was given on our behalf. A body was broken. So when we come to this table, remember a body is broken. But we don't have to wait till the Lord's Supper. We can remember this on a regular basis. We can turn to 1 Corinthians and remember it every day if we so desired. In remembrance of me, a body's broken. In remembrance of me, blood was shed. This cup is a New Testament in my blood. Oh, the bloody death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blood that was shed because of the beating and the ripping out of the beard before he ever got to Pilate. And then once he got to Pilate, he still endured a beating. And then he endured the crown of thorns. And then he endured the scourging, which would have changed his visage, as Isaiah said, to where it's unrecognizable. He would not have looked like himself. If you'd have seen him the day before and after the scourging, you would not have recognized him, because his visage was so marred more than any of the sons of men. And in doing so, the blood was shed. One commentator said, by the time of the dismissal of the Spirit, his body was literally drained of blood. Just enough left in that chest cavity so that when the soldier pierced his side, there's blood and water, and that was it. That's what this commentator said. All of his blood was poured out. But we remember the blood that was shed. We remember the life that was given. Jesus didn't die because of the spear in his side, or because of the scourging, or the nails in his hands and his feet, or because of the suffocation of crucifixion, or because of the... what's the word I want to use? It's gone somewhere. Exposure. He didn't die for any of that. He did something nobody's ever done before. I say this all the time, but it bears saying because it bears remembering. He dismissed his spirit. He said, no man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. When it came the right time, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that means he dismissed the life that was in his body, to dismiss the spirit that was in his body. He set it loose. He set it free. He gave his life. Nobody took it from him. He didn't die because he was beaten, crucified, stuck with a spear, or anything else. He gave his life. He dismissed it. Nobody's ever done that before or since. We remember in remembrance of a life that is given, in remembrance of a sacrifice that was made. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Every Jew standing there observing that crucifixion, every man, every woman, the Sanhedrin, everybody else, the Romans not so much because they wouldn't have been as closely familiar with the Jewish law and tradition, but every Jew standing there, and many were there because of Passover, would have understood, well, there's a Passover lamb being slain. And this morning there was a lamb slain. And this evening there'll be another lamb slain. And every day there are animals offered in sacrifice so that we, as God's covenant people, can maintain our relationship and fellowship with God. We've got to do it every day, every week, every month, every year. We've got to do this. We've got to come back next Passover. Well, they didn't, but they didn't realize it. But in remembrance of a sacrifice that was made, in remembrance of a price that was paid, without the shedding of blood is no remission. I'm going to try my best to remember what Brother Ken speaks about when he talks to a Jewish person. And he asks them, they said, well, you know, we're just depending, you know, we're going to get to heaven, we're obeying. He'll ask them, well, where is your blood atonement? Where is the sacrifice? Where is the price that was paid for your atonement? Where is it? Well, we don't have a temple, so we can't offer one. There's no tabernacle, we can't offer one. Well, we just have to wait, so to speak, or we have to symbolically do. No. Jesus paid the price. Redemption's price was the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. So, in remembrance of a price that was paid, in remembrance of a pardon that was offered, there's the offer, the gift that is offered. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Son of man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's a gift that is offered. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is offered. A pardon is offered. And if you get that pardon, you go free If you accept that pardon, you go free. But it's not yours unless you accept it. It will not be forced upon you. And it will not be given to you because somebody else got one. You must receive it as yourself. Remember a pardon that is offered. Remember a memorial, that's hard to say, in remembrance of a memorial observed. You say, well, that is redundant, isn't it? That's saying the same thing twice. Sort of like saying a born-again Christian. I've always said, you know, if you say somebody's a born-again Christian, you're just saying the same thing twice. Because if you are born again, you are Christian. If you are a Christian, you're born again. But a memorial observed, in remembrance of a memorial observed. That's what we do. We observe a memorial. We remember the body. We remember the blood. We remember the life. We remember the sacrifice. We remember all of that every time we come to the table. Every time we read this passage. Every time we read the Gospels. Every time the preacher or the Sunday school teacher reminds you of it. In remembrance of the return anticipated. You do show the Lord's death till He come. In remembrance. You say, well, that's not possible. You can't remember something that hasn't happened yet. Well, this do, or do this, you do show the Lord's death till He come. I know He's coming. It's a stated fact, it's a done deal, yeah, but it's not happened yet. But it will. And we can say it as if it has already occurred. And Jesus said, you show the Lord's death till He comes. So in remembrance of a return anticipated, if we go to any observance tomorrow, if there's a parade, and there are plenty of memorial observations, and many of our politicians will make a show, and I hope it's sincere in their hearts. When you go, you will see a flag, and you may see a folded one. You may hear the taps played. You may hear a rifle volley, and all of that. And you may see the grave marker. And all these things will bring to remembrance the purpose of Memorial Day. But as we come to this table, Jesus said, this do in remembrance of Me. And so, a body broken, blood that is shed, life given, sacrifice made, price paid, pardon offered, memorial observed, and return anticipated. That's what we do in remembrance of Him. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, I'm going to ask individually our deacons to come one at a time because there's only one tray of each. So I will call upon you to come in just a minute. But the Scripture says, let a man examine himself and so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examine yourself first, you know, whether you be in the faith. Are you saved? If you're here this morning, you're unsaved, you cannot partake of this. It is certainly an unworthy manner, if you are unsaved, to partake of the Lord's memorial. But you can trust Jesus as your Savior right now where you sit. You can realize your sinful condition. You realize you're lost and undone. And that Jesus, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary and paid your sin debt. He shed His blood so that you could be washed white as snow. He gave His life, was buried in a tomb, and rose again the third day so that you could have eternal life. And all you have to do is accept what He's done. Repent of your sin and receive Jesus as Savior. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. You died on the cross to pay for my sin debt. You rose again the third day to be victorious. Tell Him that. He already knows. And then ask Him, dear God, forgive me of my sins and save me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do that, then come to this table. And Christian friend, you say, preacher, I've been saved for years and years and years. Well, search examine. Because when you come to this table, you want your heart right. You want to be in fellowship with Him. You want to remember what He's done. As we have considered a few things this morning. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to this sacred table, this sacred observance, we come remembering You and what You've done. Everything was taken care of by You, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. The price paid, the sacrifice made, the life given, the death, the burial, the resurrection. You did it all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. So, Lord, as we come to this sacred observance, we want to be clean. We want to be right with You. So cleanse us and help us as we come to this sacred table. May we be in fellowship with You so that we can remember. And bless us now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Miss Ann, if you would go to the piano and just quietly begin to play some background music. And I'm going to ask Brother Ken if he would come at this time, and we'll partake of the bread first. Jesus said this bread represented His body, and He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." But as He took the bread and broke it, He blessed it and gave it to His disciples. Brother Ken, would you lead us in prayer over the bread, please?
Father, we stand here in this service this humbly, recognizing that You have given to us that which we could not accomplish ourselves. You came and took upon human flesh for the express purpose of going to Calvary and there suffering and dying, pouring out Your precious life's blood that we might be saved. Father, now we remember that broken body. Bless this bread. As we partake, help us to be drawn closer to You and encouraged in our walk. To Your praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. after the breaking and the blessing, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And ask Brother Dave if he would come. Scripture says he took the cup, and when he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples. And so we ask God's blessing on the partaking of the cup, Brother Dave.
Dear Father, as we come to this time now, and we remember your blood, Lord, the remission of our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sin. Lord, we thank you for this sacrifice, for this atonement that allows the cleansing of our sin to be acceptable in your sight, be righteous in your righteousness before the Lord. Father, I am so thankful that we can have the joy of our salvation through the shedding of your blood as we remember at this time. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And he told his disciples, "Drink ye all of it." The meal being concluded, the Bible tells us when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I like to sing Amazing Grace at this time. The first and the last stanza of Amazing Grace, our closing prayer. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun.
to sing God's praise. Then when we first begun. God bless you. We'll be back tonight in the 6 o'clock hour.